Let's freaking go. Andy, the wildest day I can remember in the NFL, probably the wildest since Russell Wilson signed with the Broncos, but we will start we'll start the NFL free agency here with Kirk Cousins to the Atlanta Falcons. Your initial thoughts in all your years covering the NFL, Kirk going to join forces with our guy, Drake London.
Well, I think this is a fantastic addition for the Falcons. This is going to be awesome for Drake London. His value is going to go up. Kyle Pitts' value is going to go up. Bijan Robinson's values are going to go up. You actually get a really good passer in Kirk Cousins. He's had incredible efficiency over the past several years of his career. He's also got the experience. He's a four-time Pro Bowler. He's had experience with Raheem Morrison for the Redskins. He's basically played in the Sean McVay-style offense his entire career, and now he gets Zach Robinson as his offensive coordinator, who's been part of the Sean McVay system his entire career. So this is like, I feel like this is a match made in heaven here for the Falcons that's going to make a very explosive offense.
And for those that don't know, if you're new here, I do a show on the Football Card Quest with Andy every Tuesday, but we're doing it on Monday because this has just been a crazy Monday. So Andy and I actually dropped all the extra projects he and I have been working on just to go live with you because your text line was blowing up, mine as well, to just go live now. So that's why we are here. So we welcome in some of my viewers from Power Hour NFL, but we welcome in all our super diehards as well. Andy, I love this move for Kirk Cousins. But more importantly, like we mentioned a minute ago, Drake London is a guy that I'm just locked in on here. You get this Los Angeles coaching staff in, okay? And I understand Kirk Cousins is not Matthew Stafford. He's not as good as that guy. But this Los Angeles coaching staff maximizes their wide receiver output, okay? I understand that, Andy, there is such a massive focus on Kirk himself, but we saw this Los Angeles coaching staff maximize Puka Nacua, gave freaking and Cooper Kupp is a great talent. Don't get it twisted. But Cooper Kupp just had the greatest wide receiver season in the history of the NFL when they won the Super Bowl a few years ago. Okay. Drake London, that's a guy. That's a guy I'm circling. Okay. You got these people like JJ Zacharyson who study analytics, and he has always been a Drake London believer. That is the guy, Andy. And from not only a fantasy perspective, but a football card perspective, his cards look really clean. And he didn't go anywhere. So all his football cards, Andy, are going to be in Atlanta Falcon uniforms. I think Drake London is going at the end of next season, it'll be clear that he is a top 12 wide receiver in the NFL.
Oof, wheels up for Drake. Yeah. And if you look at his reception perception profile, his success rate versus covered scores are very Mike Evans-ish. So it's going to be super exciting to see how he dominates. But certainly, yeah, the days of getting his rookie ticket autos for $15 or getting him in the fifth, sixth, seventh, or eighth round of fantasy drafts are over. I'm sure he's now going to be in that wide receiver one consideration with Kirk Cousins.
Andy, what for you, before we get on to Saquon Barkley, I want to take a look at the rest of the skill guys for Atlanta. I think this could be wheels up for Bijan as well.
No, it's got to be, because it's not only in terms of passing efficiency from Kirk Cousins, but that's also, you know, just the fact they're going to be able to be more productive through the air. That's going to enable Bijan to do more damage on the ground. And I think he'll have a higher opportunity share in general. Last year, you had so much split time between him and Tyler Algier and Cordarrelle Patterson. I think that this new coaching staff is going to give the ball to their best playmakers, like we've seen in L.A. last year with Kyren Williams. I mean, that Kyren Williams turned into a bell cow last year for L.A. I think we're going to see similar offense deployed here this year for the Atlanta Falcons. So in terms of Bijan Robinson, yeah, maybe he's a little bit expensive already, but he's definitely not, he's cheaper than he was before he was a rookie. So I think you're paying a premium, but you're getting someone that's got that RB1 overall potential in his range of outcomes.
Yeah, and neither one of us are going to pretend to be like offensive line experts for the Atlanta Falcons. this is a division with some good defensive players. Obviously, the Saints' defensive line it is always going to be really good. But I am very bullish on the Falcons next year, as much as it pains me to say it. We'll see what they do defensively next year. They do have Jesse Bates, who the dude is just an absolute monster. We go to Saquon Barkley now. Actually, Andy, one more player here. Hold on. Kyle Pitts, okay. Are you done with Kyle Pitts? I just straight up, give me a quick answer on this one.
No, I think his role increases as well. You know, okay. Jonnu Smith signing with Miami, that's more opportunity for Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is also a better receiver in a lot of ways than the rest of the receivers behind Drake London on the Atlanta Falcons. So I think Kyle Pitts is going to have a great role in 2024. And, you know, they're going to throw the ball a lot more than they have in the past few years. So I think this is going to be a great year for Kyle Pitts as well.
Yeah, and the reason why I ask this from, once again, a football card perspective, Kyle Pitts in that 2021 draft class, right? I would love for him to go off because it makes that 2021 product a lot better. Because the quarterbacks, and we're going to put the football card hat back on here, the 2021 product is taking such a big hit, right? With Mac Jones sucking, Justin Fields sucking, Trey Lance sucking, Zach Wilson sucking. We need more 2021 superstars, right? And I would love for Kyle Pitts to actually go off. But Andy, just from a football card, just from an actual football perspective, I am not in love with Kyle Pitts as a blocker. I know that's not why he's there, but if the Rams want to play more 11 personnel and have true 11 personnel packages, Andy, it is going to be important to see if Pitts can actually block as an inline tight end some. And if he can do that, that means he's going to be on the field at all times. That means if you're able to block like a George Kittle or even to a certain degree like a Travis Kelce, you can't take him off the field. But if he can't block and you got to use up another wide receiver slot and then have an actual traditional tight end like the Rams have with Tyler Higbee, it's going to be a hurdle for him. But, you know, I'm hoping for the best for Kyle, even though he's one of your Florida Gators. And I am not a Florida Gator fan by any stretch of the imagination, but we'll see. Now, Andy, next player when it comes to free agency, I'll let you pick whoever you want to discuss next.
Well, before we move on, Carter, real quick, I think the impact to Justin Jefferson here needs to be talked about, because we don't have a quarterback signing yet for the Vikings, but the current backups on the roster are obviously not going to be the starters heading into 2024. I don't know if they're planning on drafting a player or if they're, you know, maybe trying to trade for Justin Fields or something. I'm not quite sure what's going to happen there, but anybody outside of Kirk Cousins, I think, is a downgrade for Justin Jefferson. And I think he's got to be in the consideration right now for selling before anything else happens. Like right now, Justin Jefferson is in another stratosphere in terms of prices, fantasy and football cards. So,
yeah. So we say hi to Cody on the Power Hour NFL channel. We say hi to you, Family Burliner. You have supported us more than anyone. Pick Six Cards. He and I are working out some Derek Stingley deals. I love that. Jets Crazy, Vescovi, I appreciate you as well. We'll get to Russell Wilson here in just a second. Here's one thing I'll say about Justin Jefferson. He has got just this unreal amount of marketability, right? And I know I'm biased when I'm saying this, Andy, but you know it. You see it in the prices. You see it in the star power. The LSU guys have just massive fan bases, right? There are so many big, like, Justin Jefferson card collectors out there. You and I, Andy, watched a $6,000 Justin Jefferson deal go down at the National. Andy, the kid was 15 years old. 15 years old. I mean, you normally see that with quarterbacks. You normally see that with adults, but these are teenagers dealing out big money for Justin Jefferson cards. So from a card aspect, he's got such a big fan base. He takes all the pictures with all the big rappers and all of that. But I am worried. I'm not going to lie. I'm worried as hell, okay, for two reasons as far as Justin Jefferson. I think Jordan Addison could play. I do. I don't think he's Justin Jefferson good, but Andy, I am a believer that targets are earned, not given. And I think Addison is good enough to earn targets with a quarterback who's not going to be as good as Kirk. Even if it's a rookie, he's not going to be as good as Kirk. The second thing, I'm worried about this Minnesota running game moving forward, right? If the running game sucks, I think that just puts so much more pressure on the passing game with the younger quarterback. I think it's clear now that they're going to draft a quarterback in this first round, and they might move up to go get him. But, man, I am very concerned about this Minnesota running game. And for Justin Jefferson, Andy, and the prices that people have paid for Justin Jefferson, coming off an injury attached to a team that might not be good next season, they're going to have to win something, right? You know, they lost this playoff game, and Minnesota's not the biggest fan base. It's not the biggest market share. Andy, am I over-worrying about Justin Jefferson, who's a premier talent?
No, I think you should, because let's face it, man, the guy's in his prime, but he is coming off an injury, and now he's facing a definite quarterback downgrade. It's concerning, man. And so you look at from when a player goes in their prime, you know, when they're in this stratosphere of Justin Jefferson, and then they go to, you know, the veteran stages of their career, there's just a big difference there, and they got to do a lot more to generate the same level of hype and demand. So, you know, we get one sour year from Justin Jefferson here, and the quarterback situation is grim. There's a potential situation where his cards don't quite get to the same level they are. Now, if you got a downtown kaboom, you got the rookie ticket auto, Justin Jefferson, I agree 100% hold. But if you got the optic hollow, the prism silver, something a little bit more common that loses value a little quicker when the hype diminishes, I think it's time to sell, because we could be looking at entering a new era for Justin Jefferson's career where the values on those more common cards just don't ever quite get back to where they were or where they are now.
Bold take. They're moving them.
I
if you're Minnesota and you don't know who your QB is, what's the point in you, they're going to have to give Justin Jefferson like the best NFL contract ever. Mm-hmm. Why are you going to want to pay that when you don't have the quarterback situation figured out? Okay. So Cody disagrees. He says Justin Jefferson will still catch 80 passes and have 1,200 yards. I'm not denying the talent. I'm just saying, if where they are in the draft, if they get JJ McCarthy, do you think he can? JJ McCarthy won a national championship and earlier in the season he won a game where he threw for 70 yards. I am worried as a Jefferson guy with some higher end, more college uniform Jefferson stuff, but still I am worried. My bold take is they're going to move him. Right. I think it makes sense. I don't know where he would go, but Andy, he's also going to go to the highest bidder. It's his first contract. He's still young. If there's got to be a team out there that's going to be willing to give him what would you guess? Probably $25 million per year. He's going to have the best wide receiver contract ever. Right.
Yeah. It's got to be. And that poses a situation where you want to hold because the landing right. spots could be incredible. So, yeah, I think in that situation, you got to hold. But, you know, take advantage of that news if it does happen to sell those more right. common cards and, you know, use that money then to reinvest into a really rare, good, high-end card that you hold long-term for him if you really believe in him, which I do. But the quarterback situation we know is such a big factor for these wide receivers.
And look, if you look at it from a Minnesota standpoint, you already have Addison, and you're already paying Hockenson a lot. You're locked into that TJ Hockenson deal, okay? Neither one of those guys are as close to as good as Justin Jefferson. I love both of those guys. Move them. See what you can get. I'll let you pick the next player. We can either do Russell Wilson, but Saquon Barkley just happened to the Eagles. Let's roll with that, Andy.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley with the Eagles. I'm looking in terms of skill position players. All the news today, Saquon Barkley to the Eagles has had the biggest impact in terms of hype. I mean, I have refreshed the sold items now a couple times, and his sold items are just going through the roof right now, Carter. And I think this is huge for him. The Eagles let DeAndre Swift walk, and now Saquon is going to step into a really, really interesting situation where he's more or less going to have a bell cow role. And the offensive line is not elite anymore. I think it's going to drop down a couple notches with Kelsey retiring, but it's still going to be really good. And Saquon's going to have wheels up on a new situation here. Massive market in Philadelphia. And I think the way they play definitely fits his game style quite a bit.
I'm so glad he didn't go to the Texans. I don't think he really fit their scheme. I love him. Love him with the Eagles. Andy, this is a little bit more fantasy related. I jumped for joy when I drafted Saquon Barkley 33rd overall in a recent higher stakes underdog draft. I think he still has juice. I do. This will be by far the best offense he's been a part of. He is going to be motivated now that he goes from one team in division to the other. Also, Andy, you had the Penn State aspect of it. This is a very good regional move for Saquon. I agree with you. I love this from a football card perspective. I love this from a fantasy perspective as well. Matt Murray says, how does the Saquon deal affect Gainwell? Matt Murray, are you kidding me? You're talking about Kenneth Gainwell. Kenneth, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, Gainwell, compared to Saquon Barkley, whose thighs are the size of Montana. Thighs are the size of Sylvia Sweeney's. You're going to compare Saquon Barkley to Kenneth Gainwell? Kenneth Gainwell is dust. He's cooked. It's done. This is the Saquon Barkley backfield now, Andy. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, Saquon, he was a bell cow last year for the Giants. I mean, he's a top-notch rusher and receiver. Number 5 in route participation. And, you know, he didn't have the best year in terms of efficiency, but he had one of the highest rates of stuffed runs. So it wasn't exactly like they had a great offensive line in New York. And yet he still maintained a number 3, 34.8% dominator rating in terms of the percentage of total team yards that he contributed on offense for the Giants was just absolutely insane. Number 8 in breakaway runs. So, yes, unfortunately, Kenneth Gainwell is going to be a good backup, a good safety net, good insurance policy to Saquon, and he'll be used sparingly to give Saquon breathers. I mean, look at DeAndre Swift. Once they realized DeAndre Swift had juice and was playing for his home team last year, Swift stepped up in quite a few games, but I think we're going to get that plus with Saquon here. I mean, Saquon's a generational talent.
I mean, he's incredible. I think he's still got some juice, baby. I think now the NFC East, Andy, does this put the Eagles over the top over the Cowboys? Does this change anything? And we're going to kind of tie in Tony Pollard here, Tony Pollard to the Titans now. Does that change things for you? Who would you say now, Eagles or Cowboys to win the NFC East?
Yeah, it's got to be the Eagles. I mean, the Cowboys were great last year, but you got to think about, man, they just had such a positive game script. And some of that you wonder how, you know, the ball bounces a certain team's way. I mean, they had so many defensive touchdowns last year. You got to think that that regresses back to a normal number. And if that does, it'll be really interesting. It's going to be close. The Cowboys are a solid team, but I think the Eagles, when push comes to shove, I think they beat them out in the division.
Okay. So, even though this isn't a football card or a fantasy thing, this Eagles offensive line, it's going to need to get sorted out. They did re-sign Landon Dickerson. That was actually the bigger signing, Andy. Landon Dickerson became the highest paid offensive guard in NFL history earlier today. I understand Jason Kelsey retiring is a really big deal. However, Andy, I'm about to get very football-y here, okay? Did you know that this is the deepest center class that the experts have seen in quite some time. I neither one of us are elite offensive line evaluators, okay? But Brandon Thorne, he's a big football card guy. He's also the best offensive line evaluator in sports media right now. You would probably agree with me. This center class is really good. So the Eagles could go get a Cedric Van Pran out of Georgia in third or fourth round. They're cooking. So obviously he's not going to be as good as Jason Kelce. I don't think we'll ever see anyone as good as Jason Kelce. So that center position is going to be very interesting. And this is another reason why I like the Saquon Barkley thing. I think, Andy, after studying this play for years now, the key to the Eagles' tush push was Jason Kelce over Jalen Hurts. Would you agree with that, Andy? Because, you know, what do you think? The key to the tush push, was it Jason Kelce or was it Jalen Hurts?
I mean, Jalen Hurts is he's a beast, but Jason Kelce gets so low. You watch that thing, man. He gets so low, and he's just like a little bulldozer underneath any defensive lineman. You can't get lower than him. His head is virtually on the ground, and he just puts all of his back end strength into pushing forward along the ground like a wedge. I mean, so yeah, it's at least 50%. Or more Kelce and the rest Jalen Hurts.
Right. So, and Jalen is a really good rushing quarterback sneak guy. I'm not taking anything away from him. And some of it is Dickerson. Some of it is Mailata and that whole offensive line, okay? But let's just say, Andy, that the tush push loses some effectiveness, right? If it does lose its effectiveness, who becomes a bigger part of the goal line situation?
I almost said DeAndre Swift. Saquon Barkley, baby.
I love the move. I really, really, really do. Let's for our guy Cody B. Cody B has super chatted plenty of dollars towards a football card quest in the past. So we appreciate you, Cody B. Andy, even though this is kind of older news, we'll go for about a minute here. Russell Wilson to the Steelers. Your thoughts.
Well, this is good for Russell Wilson because, I mean, the Steelers are an iconic brand. You know, they have a huge fan base. They have a good defense. So I think the Steelers are a great situation. They've needed a quarterback in there. I mean, they've kind of had a quarterback carousel there lately, you know, and Kenny Pickett is not a long-term franchise quarterback. I do think your Kenny Pickett cards are virtually dead. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Russell gets hurt and they put in Mason Rudolph again, you know. So it's – Kenny is really – I mean, he's gonna be a clipboard holder. I mean, those tiny hands are built perfect for holding clipboards.
Oh, my God, I love it. I like the move for Russ. He's not really an over-the-middle thrower. Nate Tice had a good point earlier today that the Arthur Smith offense is over the middle base. So it might not be the absolute best fit. But if the Steelers can get any type of running game going, you could force more teams to play one high coverages. And if you force teams to play more one high, that helps out George Pickens. Okay. Before we get to Pickens, though, Andy, do I think Russ is cooked? A little, as far as playmaking ability is concerned. I will say, Russell Wilson last season, Andy, top five quarterback in the NFL when it comes to completion percentage over expected. Okay? Top five with Josh Allen and a few others. Another thing about Russell Wilson, Pro Football Focus's grading had Russell Wilson identical grading-wise as Joe Burrow. Now, Joe Burrow was a very small sample size last year, but Russell Wilson's grade was near identical to that of Trevor Lawrence. Okay. So was he bad in Denver? Yes and no. Counting stats, Andy, tell me that Russell Wilson wasn't that great. He had 200-300-yard passing games last year, Andy, too. Sean Payton's play calling protected him. There were some really ugly game scripts there. But guess what, Andy? The game scripts in Pittsburgh are going to be ugly as well with Arthur Smith and the Mike Tomlin brain trust. So I think this was the best fit for him, knowing that they needed some kind of quarterback semblance. This is bad, though, Andy, from a football card perspective, because, well, that product for Kenny Pickett's draft class, Andy, it stinks. It doesn't stink per se, but it does take a hit. It really does.
Yeah, when it comes to the sealed product, it's fortunate, though. I mean, people are still going to chase Brock Purdy, but there's quite a few sets that actually Brock Purdy is not printed in. So when you look at some of those sets from 2022, yeah, make sure you check the checklist to see if Brock Purdy's in there. Or some of the other, you know, the skill position class from 2022, really solid. But people are going to be chasing Drake London now, that's for sure. So,
all right, so this is what I want to do in the chat right now. Whether you're watching this from just an NFL perspective, whether you're watching this from a football card perspective or a fantasy perspective, mold all of these together right now and give me your best answer. Who are you more bullish on? Who are you higher on going into next season? Type S for Saquon Barkley in the chat, okay? Type J for Josh freaking Jacobs going to the Green Bay Packers, Andy. And just got the breaking news. Aaron Jones has been released.
Ooh.
Aaron Jones.
We thought we were going to get Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs, but now this makes more sense.
Jacobs might be in a way better situation than Saquon now. Are you kidding me? With AJ Crappy Dillon backing him up? Josh Jacobs, baby. Oh, this is beautiful for him.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Jacobs is still just 26 years old. I mean, he's been really, really dominant as a bell cow running back. You know, he was the rushing yards leader in 2022. He did have a down year last year, missed four games. And so due to a quad strain, it's not like a major injury. But in terms of efficiency, he was in a lot of negative game script. There wasn't a lot of efficiency there, Carter. But I think a lot of that could be chalked up to an anemic Raiders offense, and Antonio Pierce didn't take over till two-thirds of the way through the season, you know, and Josh Jacobs, when he was in there, he was still a bell cow rushing and receiving. So this guy's an all-purpose running back, and Antonio Pierce really liked him. So, you know, it tells you kind of Josh Jacobs has got that dog mentality, and I think he's going to be a good fit for the Packers that can really put up some good fantasy points. And the Packers are another one of those brands like the Steelers that have a massive fan base with a ton of fans, ton of collectors that spend really, really good money on their players' cards too.
Yeah, so Jacobs, one of the rare first-round running back picks of the past couple seasons now, and so that means he's got a decent amount of product out. Well, now Jasady has a lot of product out there, but man, Andy, it's such a fun fit for him. This will be the best offense he has been a part of. And the Eagles do have a play-calling issue. The Packers do not. This is top five play-calling offenses in all the NFL. Okay? Man, Josh Jacobs goes to a good situation. Now, this is where I would be concerned. Okay? And I do think we overrate these kinds of things. But Packers not only release Aaron Jones, locker room favorite, they also release David Bakhtiari, okay? This was these are the two last holdovers from the, like, kind of Aaron Rodgers era, and now they're gone. So Eagles were a bit of a younger locker room anyway offensively, so I think that needs to get figured out. You know, that's obviously a locker room thing. We can't really, you know, go into that because we don't run four or fives and we're not in the NFL. But I think that dynamic's going to be interesting. But like we said a minute ago, this is a good offensive line draft class. If you need a center, there's some good centers. If you need a tackle, there are some good tackles in this draft. So I do like that for the Packers. So we'll see. Let's go to Mr. T. Aaron Jones goes off in the playoffs and they just let him go. Andy, that's the NFL, baby.
Yeah, and we've got to be cognizant about these offensive line changes. I know you talked about the draft class incoming, so that's going to be huge. We'll be paying attention to who the Packers draft, because I just also got an alert that the Packers they didn't release him, but he got signed by the Giants. Their guard John Runyon Jr. on a 3-year, $30 million deal. So Runyon started 50 games over his 4 years for the Packers. Pretty good offensive lineman as well. Another one they lost.
I love Aaron Jones, though. God, I love Aaron Jones. I really, really, really do. Man, he's got to go to a good spot, though. I mean, if I'm Aaron Jones, I mean, God, there are just some teams that he fits in right away with that he can get them over the hump. Right, I'll tell you this. Okay, this will be a scorching hot take. If I'm the Bengals,
yes,
dude, cut Joe Mixon and go get Aaron Jones. I mean, could you imagine him in Cincy? Especially, you know, one of our favorites on this channel, Andy, has been T. Higgins, especially disgruntled T. Higgins wanting a trade. Man, I would love Aaron Jones on the Bengals. I would love anyone other than Joe Mixon on the Bengals, even though they like him. But Andy, your thoughts on Aaron Jones?
He's going to land somewhere as a starter, a primary starter. I could see him being a good fit for a team like the Vikings as well. You know, and that's a division rival, so that could be something almost in a way to spite the Packers. So. That's out there, and that's why another reason why I say a guy like Ty Chandler, you got to sell him now on the high. Yeah. I mean, people are overdrafting Ty Chandler. They're overspending on his rookie cards in the thought that he's going to be their starter. They just lost their quarterback, and now they're probably going to pick up a guy like Aaron Jones here in free agency. I could see it happening, Carter.
DeAndre Swift to the Bears.
See, this is an interesting one. I get the move from the Bears standpoint, because I know last year they did like to run the ball over expected, but you already got two solid running backs in Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson that complement each other nicely. So you add in DeAndre Swift, it's almost like the Bears are planning to run the ball a lot in 2024. It also turns into a little bit of a two or three headed monster that scares the heck out of me. So I'm not a big fan of the move from, you know, like a value perspective. I have seen people spending more money now on Swift's rookie cards just off of the news. Bears are another iconic brand, big fan base and everything. But I think this is going to be a situation where you want to sell on this news and not really invest in any of these guys now.
Yeah, I don't think the Bears are going to be good next season. Unless Caleb is CJ Stroud out of the womb, which could happen, but I don't think that. I really don't. I'm not the biggest Roschon Johnson guy, to be honest, Andy, but I would have rolled the dice with Herbert and Johnson and just drafted another guy. What today also tells me, before we get into Tony Pollard here, I think the NFL evaluators, with the money that they are paying backs that weren't good last season, is that they believe this rookie running back class sucks. Okay? I slightly agree with them. I really do. That obviously, Andy, what did I tell you a few weeks ago? Who was the running back that you should buy? Do you remember? The college?
Audric Estime.
Okay, Estime. But my play of the week was Jalen Wright. Okay. No running back has jumped an ADP out of the rookie guys as much as Jalen Wright. Okay. I think he's in the 150, 160 range right now, and he was outside the 200s. I have faded a little bit on this running back class. And now the people that are smarter than me, which are the NFL teams, the first day all this crap opens up, okay, they're paying for running backs, right? Like, and they're kind of just bidding against themselves, because there's all these running backs out here. And Andy, they have all the data, right? They see that Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, even Saquon to a certain degree have regressed some, right? in particular Swift and Pollard, you look at rush yards over expectation. Same thing with Jacobs. They're amongst the lowest in the league, right? The advanced analytics showed that they weren't that good. They're still going out there and paying these guys, right? Just one little note. I do think the NFL evaluators are fading this running back draft class just a bit. But we go to Pollard here. Andy, your thoughts on Pollard and Tyjae now in Tennessee?
I hate it for Tyjae, honestly. I think this is a very repetitive role here. You have both guys that feature as a satellite plus back. Neither one of them true bell cows. And I love the fact that Tyjae had this complimentary satellite plus role to Derrick Henry last year. And so it would have been nice for them to bring in maybe another power back or something to complement with Tyjae. But now you bring in Tony Pollard. And they're very much overlapping. So if anything, this is going to be maybe an opportunity for Tyjae to, given a 50-50 split here, prove himself that he should earn more opportunity. We'll get to really see if Tony Pollard is juiced, because he'll be a full – or gassed, I should say. He'll be a full year removed from his leg injury. And if that was affecting his efficiency last year, then we'll get to see if that is the case in 2024.
Andy, you know my love for Tyjae. You know it in my face. My favorite. He might be my favorite running back in the NFL. Take away my LSU biases. Tyjae went to Tulane. I have a really good friend who was high school teammates with him. And I'm going to be honest. The ACL crap scared the crap out of me. I wasn't big on Tyjae coming out of college. Andy, when I watch him, he's got that juice, right? Today sucked for me because I like Tyjae a lot, but I'm also looking at it the other way around. You and I got in a pretty big argument before this. You think Tony Pollard is still good?
Yeah, I do. I think Tony Pollard was slowed down a lot last year from his leg injury, and I think that really affected him through the first half of the season. If you look towards the end of the season, his efficiency actually went up, and he had some pretty decent games in there. So I think that Tony Pollard was put in a role that he was never designed for, and on top of that, he was coming off of a leg injury. So you combine those two things together, it wasn't a recipe for success for him last year, and I think it was a down year. Otherwise, I do still think Tony Pollard is good.
Yeah, so I sold I used to have a decent Tony Pollard collection. I sold quite a bit going into the 49ers championship game a few years ago in the playoffs. Being a Tyjae truther like I am, I think he's got top 10 running back in the NFL potential. I actually kind of like this for Tyjae, because I think if I don't think Tony's any good, it'll show itself on the field pretty quickly, and Tyjae will still have the workload that I would like to think he would have. But I could be overrating Tyjae. I know I like Tyjae more than you like Tyjae, and I know I dislike Pollard more than you do. You still like Tony Pollard. I think Tyjae's still going to be the guy. I do. Even though the money doesn't show it, even though the people that are smarter than me believe it's going to be the Tony Pollard backfield because they're giving him $8 million a year. We'll see how it plays out. But no, go on. Is it something? I feel it. I feel
you. Yeah, but this is the ascension here for Derrick Henry. I'm already seeing the solds increase. I'm already seeing the values in anticipation of Derrick Henry going to the Cowboys. The cool thing about the Cowboys and the Titans is there's not a big like color change between, and this is really only applicable to football cards, you know, because when you have a guy like Saquon going from the Giants to the Eagles, people are going to be chasing those Eagles cards of Saquon, in some cases almost as much as his rookie cards. But in this case, it's not much of a uniform change. And Derrick Henry to the Cowboys, I think, is the big rumored storyline now, because clearly Derrick Henry's out. He's out. He's going somewhere. This is going to be big.
Derrick Henry is a smart guy. Okay, he really is. he's going to go to a contender. I have a tough time believing Derrick Henry taking the max on like a bad team in like Carolina or something like that. I think he's going to go to a contender. Andy, let's take a look at this from a football card in a fantasy perspective. I think whenever Derrick Henry gets signed to whichever team, you've got to sell if you're looking to offload, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at his age, I get he's an athletic freak, but I mean, we're looking at a situation where veteran running backs get about to get a massive spike, and he's on the wrong end of the age production curve, so for sure.
And fantasy-wise?
Fantasy-wise, I think this is good for Derrick Henry. I mean, I gotta think he's going to go somewhere where he puts up double-digit touchdowns like he's accustomed to. Maybe he's not getting the same amount of carries because they're going to try and extend his mileage for what they can get out of him. So maybe he has some more like 200 carries a year instead of 300, but they're higher valued touches. He's definitely going to get those carries in the red zone and around the goal line. Hopefully he goes to a team where he can put up, you know, the like last year's David Montgomery or the year before's Jamal Williams and the Lions and just put up a ton of touchdowns.
One final thing here on Derrick Henry. Okay, so yes, he won the Heisman Trophy. Yes, I mean, he's just an all-time great. I am not certain he's a Hall of Fame lock. I'm not certain. Okay, I think he does get in, though. I think he kind of sort of has to get in. But I'm not locking him in for that. And that's kind of important when it comes to football cards, right? Because, you know, if you're holding some Derrick Henry stuff and you're a big collector, sure, hold on to it for forever. But I highly recommend you go look at Adrian Peterson's prices. I highly recommend you go look at LaDainian Tomlinson's prices. Derrick Henry will never get to that status. It's impossible at this point. So you look at their stuff. Their stuff is, like, relatively affordable compared to other positions. So from a football card standpoint, I think you need to sell on this Henry news wherever he signs it. It's going to be to a contender. And more than likely, Andy, it's going to be to a contender with a way larger fan base than the Tennessee Titans. If it's
an interdivisional contender, it could be the Houston Texans, which Saquon wanted to go play with them. They need a better running back, a power back in their arsenal. That would be big if Derrick Henry, because that whole C.J. Stroud situation right now is super hyped up. He's arguably one of the most hyped quarterbacks in the market besides Patrick Mahomes after what he did in his rookie year. Yes, T. Higgins, who he wanted to play with. You know, oh, C.J., what C.J. did his rookie year is awesome, you know. So I think if Derrick Henry goes to the Texans, that's a massive spike as well. That would be a great time to sell.
All right. We'll get to the most disgruntled NFL player that let his intentions know. But first, a little tease here. I want to shout out our friends at nooffseason.com, CGC Cards, for their support of the Football Card Quest. If you want to support Andy, patreon.com/footballcards. Also, we'll be live here for we'll keep going. But if you want your free agency fantasy or football card question answered immediately, please super chat. If you super chat, we'll go straight to your question, your take, or whatever. Also, we are simulcasting on Power Hour NFL. I'm close to 1,000 subscribers. Please go subscribe, because Andy, I'm not bragging, I'm just sharing the facts. I've lost over $1,000 in ad revenue because I didn't have 1,000 subscribers, because I've had some videos really pop off there. So please go subscribe. It's free. And once you, it helps me make you guys know the rest. Okay. T. Higgins, Andy, your reaction to the Adam Schefter report that he is disgruntled and wants to go somewhere and sign a long-term deal.
Well, I had a feeling it was going to happen, you know, because I mean, let's face it, the wide receiver market demands a much higher premium than the running back market in today's NFL. And when T. Higgins got the franchise tag, I immediately was like, he's not going to be content with this. This guy is due a huge bag of money somewhere, a team he could step in as an alpha. And so I had a feeling that he was still going to be on the trade block. potentially one of these draft night blockbuster trades, or you know, obviously someone that's traded here this week, as he's already requested a trade, and so now T. Higgins is seeking to get out of Cincinnati.
Do you think he could be a number one?
On a lot of teams, like the Carolina Panthers, he could be a number one. The Chargers at this point, I could think he would be a number one, just because Keenan Allen is getting pretty up there in age. So I could think of several teams where he could step in and become a number one.
Carolina makes a lot of sense, but this just broke as well. Carolina just paid Robert Hunt a record contract, $100 million to Robert Hunt, an offensive guard, to Carolina. I love that move for Carolina, okay, because just a quick little side note here on T. Higgins. All right, this is going to sound very biased, but Drew Brees is arguably the greatest short quarterback in the history of the NFL, okay? The one position that was consistently elite for Drew Brees, Andy, was the offensive guard. They were consistently elite at both guards, okay? Yeah, they always had Marcus Colston. Yeah, they always had good running backs. But for a short quarterback to succeed, you have to have elite offensive guard play, because they got to be able to see over the middle, right? I love this move for Bryce Young, right? You can make a case getting a good offensive guard is almost as important as getting a good wide receiver. So I like that move. So T. Higgins to the Panthers would make a lot of sense, right? They need a number one option, and they need to see if Bryce Young is their guy or not. T. Higgins also played his college ball in the Carolinas, albeit it was in South Carolina at Clemson. So regionally, that would make a lot of sense. I also think T. Higgins to the Titans makes a lot of sense as well. Okay. T. Higgins from the state of Tennessee. Okay. T. Higgins, offensive coordinator, becomes the head coach with Callahan. I'm just kind of spitballing here. I think the Bengals are going to get it done. I really, really, really do. Because they really want to go for the Super Bowl here with Joe Burrow. I don't know how they're going to make it financially, because they still got to pay Jamar. But yeah, I don't know, Andy, about T though being a bona fide number one. He can't even stay healthy.
Well, I mean, it's a good point, but I mean, he has been, like, in 2022 he was healthy. He didn't miss any games in 2022. So last year, in missing five games, the hamstrings are never fun for wide receivers, and sometimes those linger for an entire year. And he also had the rib fracture that put him out a week, and another two injury reports. So, yeah, I think that hamstrings are always, wide receiver's worst enemy, but I would not put him in the Christian Watson hamstring category. So, I mean, looking at this cap situation, I don't think he goes to the Chargers. I just don't think they can figure out a way to restructure enough money to sign him. But he could certainly fit in with the Panthers, like you mentioned, the Titans. I'm also thinking about the Patriots, who have a ton of cap space. I know they're potentially pursuing Calvin Ridley. I would imagine the Panthers are also potentially pursuing Calvin Ridley. But I think T. Higgins is better than Calvin Ridley. And I think that T. Higgins would be an awesome fit as an alpha for, like, Patriots. What about, you know, even signing with the Cardinals? I know the Cardinals are projected to maybe draft Marvin Harrison Jr., but if they decided not to go that route, then they could sign T. Higgins here. Or maybe the Bengals just get it done. They do have a lot of cap space, but I know they got to pay quite a few people there.
Another player on the lower end here, Gabe Davis out in Buffalo, Andy, to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay. There's a bunch of different, honestly, this move has a bunch of different tentacles. Okay. The one player I'm super excited about here is Christian Kirk, right? Gabe Davis isn't really that great. He's just a field stretcher. Man, dude, Christian Kirk is just a good football player. And I love Christian Kirk for next season. I'm actually going to draft a lot more Christian Kirk now. He's got a good rapport with Trevor Lawrence. But Andy, your thoughts on Gabe Davis to the Jaguars? You can go to pretty much any different direction you want to here.
Okay. Yeah, his cards aren't really moving from the deal. It's not really – this is a lateral shift. If anything, it's a downgrade for Gabe Davis. He's going to have more target competition. Yeah. Zay Jones is still kicking it. Christian Kirk, like you said, Christian Kirk is better than Gabe Davis. So, yeah, I think you have so much target. You have a lot of targets there in Jacksonville, and Trevor Lawrence likes to spread the ball around. So I think ultimately this is another solid weapon for Trevor Lawrence, but it's not an upgrade at all for Gabe Davis. If anything, it's like a little bit of a downgrade. Obviously Calvin Ridley is out. That definitely means that Calvin Ridley is out. And Gabe Davis is not a replacement for Calvin Ridley at all. So we have a potential spike incoming for Calvin Ridley, especially if he signs with the Patriots. I think it's pretty clear that the Patriots are going to draft a quarterback here at number three overall this year. And so that's going to be a big play. That's going to be a big play there. The Patriots are a huge fan base, huge market. I think it's going to be smart to, you know, and I recommended Calvin Ridley as my play last week because of the potential landing spots. Could even be a team like the Giants as well. Another massive fan base, big market for Calvin Ridley, you know. He's definitely a guy that is on the move for sure from this, Carter. Let's see.
Let me see. What was the next? Oh, next thing. Okay. Stephon Diggs. Okay. Do the Bills? I mean, we've seen them do a fire sale on defense, right? They let go of three very popular, long-tenured Pro Bowl-level DBs. Poyer, Hyde, and my guy Trey White all out the door. We know they're going to draft a wide receiver at some point. What do you think with Stephon Diggs, and do you think the Bills could make a move for a receiver here?
The Bills need to restructure some contracts and move some money around, because right now, looking at overthecap.com, the Bills are in the hole $18 million, negative $18 million effective cap space. So, I mean, they've got to do something there. So they have a pick at 28 this year in the first round. We know it's a very deep wide receiver class, and let's see if they draft a wide receiver. I mean, it would definitely make sense. They've now got vacated targets in Gabe Davis, and you've got Stephon Diggs on a very bloated contract. And towards the end of the season, Carter, I think we both noticed Stephon Diggs looking like he lost a step, and we know he was kind of disgruntled heading into last season. He's got to be frustrated. They haven't won a ring there, so it's interesting. This situation ongoing with Stephon Diggs, I imagine he stays there. Maybe they restructure his contract. Maybe he allows that and they can work that out. But I do think that the Bills have got to do something here.
I will say one thing on this, because I know that this will start a firestorm in the chat. Okay. Back to the Kirk Cousins things. I know there's a lot of people that have just joined us. Okay. The Falcons should have just made the move for Lamar Jackson. I still can't believe it. That fit just made so much sense. But that's not here nor there. Right. I have heard from reputable people that there was some interest on Lamar's side going to Atlanta. I mean, he was interested in going anywhere that was willing to pay him what he was going to pay him. And I think the Ravens are going to pay him eventually, no matter what, because he's a freaking MVP. But man, I just find it interesting, right? I just find it very, very interesting. This one kind of flies under the radar. No, go ahead. It looks like you're getting ready to fire off, Andy. Go right ahead.
While we were on the Patriots, and maybe you're going to hit on this, the fact that Antonio Gibson signed a nice little deal with them. I think it was a 3-year deal with the Patriots. three-year deal with the Patriots. And I think this frees him from being, you know, locked up there in Washington. This is a massive upgrade for Antonio Gibson here, where he can like properly be featured. I think this is going to be a fresh start, and he's not going to have any of that baggage from Washington. This is exciting for Antonio Gibson here, the Patriots.
I do like it. I just needed him out of that Washington backfield. Needed a fresh start. He is a very special receiving back. You know, Ramondre is still there, and I've mostly stayed away from Madre, but man, Antonio Gibson could play. I still believe it. I still believe it. There's late stick. Late stick is a Memphis Tigers fan, apparently. Antonio Gibson. But yeah, I think he pairs well with Ramondre, and we'll see how that works out.
His athletic profile is off the charts, Carter, and you know he's not even 26 years old yet. People are still not buying his cards off of this acquisition. He's not a quarterback. He's not a rookie anymore, and he's coming off of some down years. He only put up 265 rushing yards, 389 receiving yards last year. But as we all know, he was in that coach's doghouse pretty much the entire year, ever since they drafted Brian Robinson. So this will be finally, I think, a chance. I think he'll be a great, like, power, almost a power back satellite plus role, complementary to Ramondre Stevenson. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets deployed there.
One thing I will include, though, Andy, all right, when it comes to, and it's ironic because this has to deal with Brian Robinson as well, the running backs I will love from the Washington Commanders or the New England Patriots is going to be the one that's connected to Drake May, right? And you know, Andy, I'm a Jaden Daniels guy. But if Jaden Daniels goes to the Patriots, that's not good for Antonio Gibson, because Jaden's specialty is not throwing to the running backs out of the backfield. Okay. Jaden would rather just run it. All right. Or Drake May is going to dump off to his running backs more. And the same thing's true for Washington as well. Right. I'm not as in love with B-Rob with Jaden compared to B-Rob with Drake May. Even though I think Jaden is a better quarterback prospect, I think it is better for your running backs to have pocket quarterbacks because of goal line work and so on and so on. So just a little note there.
That's a good point. So it's like best to wait till the draft kicks off. We get through the first round before you start investing any sizable money into Antonio Gibson again because of this.
Yeah. I do want to touch on this. This one is a way under the radar one. We're going to try to get to every one of them before we skedaddle here. Judy, Jerry Judy, not Judge Judy, Jerry Judy to the Browns, Andy.
Yeah, this is bad for Elijah Moore, honestly. You know, the only person that this is really good for is Deshaun Watson. It's like one more weapon to see if Deshaun Watson is still any good at all. But you gotta be excited for whoever the quarterback is going to be in the Browns. Honestly, if Deshaun Watson's not it, maybe they should bring Joe Flacco back, dude, because he was lighting it up towards the end of last season. But seriously, yeah, this is bad for Elijah Moore, and it's just like the Browns are content with buying these wide receivers on the cheap because, well, they have virtually no money. They can't afford much. They only paid, what was it, a fifth and sixth round pick for Jerry Judy. So that just goes to show, proves Steve Smith Sr.'s point that Jerry Judy's just a guy.
Yeah. Andy, my biggest miss in draft history was putting Judy ahead of CD and my guy Jets. Man, I didn't think Jerry Judy would be as big of a bust as he was. But he's a tough interview. He's a tough guy to get along with. Weird relationship with the media, weird relationship with the fans of Denver, weird injury history. And yeah, it's just a strange guy all around, to the point where Andy, former players just don't like have vendettas against current players like the way Steve Smith has with Jerry Jeudy. And Steve Smith is probably my favorite like NFL personality out there. He's definitely one of my favorites on the rise. He just seems like a like an authentic guy who just won't just crap talk anyone just for the sake of it. And the fact that he did that was like a major red flag. I'm just totally done with Jerry Jeudy. And I say all that ironically, Andy. Jerry Jeudy was one of my biggest flips. You know, I bought some of his National Treasures, like rookie. The Russell Wilson news happened, sold all of them, right? I'm just out on Jeudy, but I do like the move for the Browns to get first-round draft capital and a guy with a really nice athletic profile for like a fifth or sixth-round pick. But, man, just a weird team, the Browns. Let me ask you this, Andy. Are you out totally on Deshaun Watson?
You know, no, not totally. I can't be because the Browns have a great coaching staff, great offensive lines. They've got all the weapons. He should be able to succeed there in Cleveland. We saw glimpses of it. So I'm not out totally, you know, from just a performance standpoint. I mean, this is a team that could win. We saw how good the defense was last year. They made a really deep run. I'm not out totally on him, but I still don't like the, I feel like so many people bought into Deshaun Watson back in 2020. And then the whole scandal broke loose that there's a lot of people that are out there holding the bag on Deshaun Watson, and they still don't want to sell his better cards for cheaper or much cheaper than what they bought him. So they're content holding. So really the only accessible market for Deshaun Watson is more of his lower end base market. And I just have no desire to get into that for Deshaun Watson. I don't want to take on the massive risk that comes with Deshaun Watson's more higher end cards of 2017. So yeah, so I guess I'm kind of out on him from a hobby perspective. I wouldn't mind taking a couple of late round flyers on Deshaun Watson and stacking him with some of those receivers, particularly Amari Cooper. Maybe some late round flyers on Cedric Tillman. The thing is, they have like so many good weapons there, man. It's like, it's one of those situations where you don't really know who to invest in besides maybe Amari Cooper.
Okay. This is where I am on the Browns. This is more of a football thing, if anything else. So I don't think people quite realize how all time great the Baltimore Ravens were last year. Okay. They had 9 victories versus winning teams, Andy, by 14 points or more. 9 last year. No other team in NFL history had more than 5, okay? The Ravens are still going to be very good next season. I say all of that because I still think the Browns had the most talented roster in the AFC. I mean, if you go position by position, player by player, the Browns roster is so stacked. I was so high on the Browns going into this year because they are so freaking stacked. Now, they had terrible injury luck, obviously, with Watson, Chubb, Grant Delpit, but they are still so freaking loaded, man. Like, talent-wise, it's absurd, right? We didn't even mention David Njoku. And David Njoku's incredible. Like, he made a Pro Bowl last year. But God, Watson looks bad. He looks bad. Football card perspective, we can get into a debate about all the extra stuff. People don't like buying into all the extra stuff, Andy. It's just a weird hobby. They can live with it if you've won a Super Bowl, but he hadn't been to a Super Bowl. I'm out on Watson, and I'm kind of fading the Browns. But we'll see you, Cody. We appreciate Cody Boudreaux, all the support you've given us. Good luck to your Steelers this offseason. It's going to be a weird offseason for the Steelers, who are also in this division. I do think the Bengals make the playoffs. I do think the Ravens make the playoffs. I'm out on the Browns. I'm out on the Steelers. Okay, I'm getting chalky here, Andy. I am getting chalky.
Yeah, so I'm looking at these other some of these other deals that we've already seen happen. Michael Pittman Jr. got paid by the Colts, 3-year, $70 million deal, top 10. He's now top 10 paid, a highest paid wide receiver. Big Mike got a re-signed with the Bucs on a 2-year, $41 million deal. Probably retire after that.
Big Mike's first ballot now, if you ask me. If I was a voter, now he's not going to get in first ballot. But if I was a voter, he'd be first ballot for me. Okay. And I'm not just saying that because my best friend on YouTube, who is Andy, is a big Mike Evans collector, and that's good for your evaluations and all that crap. But Mike Evans just had the best year of his career after Tom Brady left. Okay. And I know Cody's an SEC guy. I got some other SEC guys in here. As time has moved on, people have come to realize that a lot of Johnny Manziel's success at Texas A&M was Mike Evans. Now, Johnny Football was the best player. I'm not taking anything away from him. But Mike Evans and Ryan Swope were the real deal SEC wide receivers when Manziel was there. So Big Mike is a first ballot guy for me now. Okay, that shows me a lot with your character that, you know, Tom Brady hangs it up and you had the best year of your career. Love me some Big Mike, even though he's a Buccaneer and an A&M Aggie. Okay, it's just, I love Big Mike. I really do. And I'm glad he's staying with the Bucs, Andy. That makes your collection look a lot prettier.
Yeah, it sure does, man. I was afraid I was going to have to sell there for a second.
And at first I was like, okay, Mike Evans is not going to be first ballot because there's just going to be so many receivers retiring. I could see him and like Tyreek retiring at the same time. I could see him and Cooper Kupp retiring around the same time. Remember, only 5 guys get into, you know, a Hall of Fame draft class. I could see him and Matthew Stafford retiring around the same time. But Big Mike has got to be a first ballot now. But it's weird, though, when it comes to first ballot Hall of Famers, Andy. Freaking Antonio Gates wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer, which is still stupid. I've not gotten over that. I've not. But that's not here nor there. Andy, you pick the next topic. Go right on ahead before we wrap up here in just a second.
Yeah, I'm wondering. I'm now looking at this update from the Texans here. They signed cornerback Jeff Okuda to a 1-year, $4.75 million deal. They now have a pair of former number 3 overall picks with Derek Stingley and Okuda. And this is another notch in the defensive belt of Houston. And, you know, they were the surprising team to take over the AFC South last year, steal it right away from the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I got to think that the Texans may have another really good year. I'm like wondering, I know you've got to pay a premium to get in on CJ Stroud, and maybe he's out of your budget, but I'm almost wondering if the little dip we've seen, like post-playoff here dip for CJ Stroud, maybe during draft time when you have all these first-round quarterbacks, like even if I'm having to pay a premium to get into the CJ Stroud market, it might be worth it because I think that this could be a really good team again next year, and they could potentially make another deep playoff run, and he may just be a really good hold, almost like buying into Brock Purdy, you know, last year in the offseason, except without the injury, of course, and CJ Stroud's got the draft capital and everything else, so it's like hard to compare, but you get what I'm saying.
All right, so let's discuss CJ and a buying opportunity here, okay? Because Andy, you know, you're not the high-end quarterback guy. That's not what you build your collection around. And I commend you. Okay, I really do. 2023 Prism looks really nice. Obviously, his autos aren't in the product. Let me ask you this, Andy. Do you think CJ Stroud is a Joe Burrow level player?
It's going to be close, man. It's going to be close. Like, I don't want to, you know, you are like, look at the S2 cognition scores. Okay. I think there's a difference there between Joe Burrow and CJ Stroud.
Even though that benefits my guy, that doesn't mean shit. That doesn't mean anything.
But on the field, I mean, CJ was clutch and he made a lot of big boy throws in the intermediate and deep sectors of the field that were very accurate and perfectly timed, man. Set his guys up. I love this combination of coaching and players that they have in Houston right now. And so I like that. I like that a little bit better. I'm not a big Zach Taylor fan in Cincinnati. And, you know, I obviously CJ doesn't have the same injury in the injury history that Joe Burrow now has.
Agreed. And this is something that I've struggled with, Andy. I'll be honest. I still think Burrow is better. I still think Burrow is the second best quarterback in the NFL behind Mahomes. That could be biased speaking. It probably is. Most people would have Allen, Lamar. Some have Herbert ahead of Burrow. With CJ, though, I will also say this. He did beat Burrow in Baltimore in Cincy this year, so I give him that credit. There were some times where I was watching CJ this year, Andy, and I was like, he's transcendent. Like, he's so freaking good. Like, unfreaking believable. But it's tough for me to fully commit to him being that dude, right? In the NFC, I would feel a lot more comfortable. AFC, it's just harder, okay? Because, Andy, you're a Richardson guy. You like AR, okay? The Colts, I mean, they played a close game for the Texans to even get in the playoffs, okay? So that's why I won't do the high-end Stroud stuff. Even though, like you said, there is a little bit of a dip, and it's only going to rise as the season gets closer. So it might be a good buy, and you can decide to sell before the season begins. But I'm going to hold off, and I'm actually just going to double down and buy some Bryce at a depreciated cost here, because they got the offensive guard situation figured out, and if they can get another weapon, we'll see what they can do. So there you go. I know you got some more calls coming in, Andy. So we'll wrap this thing on up. But there you go. This was a lot of fun, Andy.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And there's also a lot of reading between the lines here and kind of making moves based off of that too. I mean, we know Tua's prices have kind of dipped a little bit, but they're still at like starting quarterback, made the playoffs last couple of years type prices. And they've lost a lot of players. And now they've just lost, you know, arguably an all-pro guard. I mean, this is a pretty big hit again to the Dolphins. So I almost think, you know, I like the Dolphins always starting off their season hot. So I kind of like holding Tua to the beginning of the season and hope he gets off to a hot start and then sell him, because I just don't see this team like actually being able to ever make a really deep playoff run.
Well, even though my channel, Power Hour NFL, is a little bit more everyone focused, Dolphins let go of Christian Wilkins to the Raiders. Christian Wilkins, do I think he's an elite DT? Is he a top five DT in the NFL right now? Yes. I mean, Aaron Donald's still better. Chris Jones is still better. Dexter Lawrence, I think, is the best DT in the NFL. I just do, but that's a debate for a different day. But they did let Wilkins go. I thought that was interesting. They let Hunt go, their guard, to the Panthers. Man, the Dolphins are about to overpay for Tua, and it's going to suck for the Dolphins because he's garbage. So, you know, I'm. It's weird. It's a weird situation in Miami. Very, very, very weird, Andy.
Our buddy Parker that did the how to ship high-end sports cards video is going to be potentially pretty upset about this latest one, man. Xavier McKinney just signed a 4-year, $68 million contract with division rival Green Bay Packers.
Wait, Green Bay? No, Green Bay and the Giants aren't in the same division.
Are they? Oh, NFC East. My bad.
Yeah, no, okay. Right, NFC. Okay.
It used to be, though. I'm thinking like circa 2000 time period, right?
No. But the Giants and Green Bay don't have good history, though, right?
No.
Going back to the Odell boat situation, where Green Bay kind of circled the wagons about that a little too much. But to Late Stick's point, okay, and this is just true, okay, Tua has provided more profitable buy low, sell high opportunities than any of the quarterbacks in the 2020 draft. So from a sports card perspective, Tua has had multiple dips. Actually, Andy, we didn't play our opening, so if this is your first time watching, you can actually go back to our last week episode. Our opening little montage is you calling Tua the buying opportunity, where it's zooming in and you could see the rookie ticket auto values. So it's a little bit different from a football card perspective. That's a good point, Late Stick.
Yeah, Tua's a good flip guy, man, because his prices get so low and then they spike back up when they go off crazy, you know. He's just not one of those guys you really want to hold long term. I don't think he's a long term. He's like a running back, quarterback, you know, in terms of the hobby. You know, he's just going to buy him and flip him.
Yeah, and garbage is a strong word. I don't think he's that. He's good, but you would think he was Mac Jones if he wasn't connected to Mike McDaniel and the best wide receiver of the past 10 years. You know, and we're not even talking about Jalen Waddle and what he's done for Tua. So, I just don't think he's that good. I really don't. I really, really, really don't. And if I was Miami, I would help go get a QB on the cheap, draft Bo Nix, do something. I just am not paying Tua what they're going to pay him, which I think is going to be a massive, massive, massive mistake. Andy, I do want to shout out Joe Garza. This is, you know, what we're looking for with the sports card community, right? We want to meet all you guys. And just a few weeks ago, I went to a Shreveport card show and set up, and Joel Garza made the drive from Houston and drove all the way from Houston to buy my favorite patch auto in my collection. And I was happy to sell it to Joel. Joel, it was good to meet you. I really do appreciate you. I haven't been able to live and tell you this. That's what it's all about, man. And I wanted to sell the card to someone that really would enjoy it. I am upgrading my collection, and DJ equipment for my DJ business. But Joel, I appreciate you. Appreciate how kind you were. And thank you. Thanks. I love doing deals with people in here because it's a little bit more reliable. And it was in person. So there you go. I appreciate you, Joel. I really do. So there you go. But Andy, I think that'll just about do it for us. I'll let you get your final thoughts in here, man.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it for everybody tuning in today. It's been a flurry of activity. Carter, this has been a really fun live stream. It's super exciting time right now. And you guys can see why free agency is such a big football card selling time, because a lot of people get excited about these news blips and not, you know, they just impulsively go on eBay and buy. What the news stories that are releasing today, some of them are going to have a big impact, but other ones are actually going to change again by time we get closer to the season. So that's why it's you don't necessarily want to rush out and make those hasty decisions, but that's where you want to be on the selling end of them right now.
Yeah, so let's go to Matt's comment. This actually just broke. Singletary to New York. Devin Singletary to the New York Giants. So Derrick Henry to the Texans is probably going to happen now.
They're bringing in somebody. Yeah. Aaron Jones, Derrick Henry.
It's got to happen. It's got to. But we do have to go. Andy's got work stuff.
Yeah.
but we appreciate everyone on the Power Hour NFL side of things. Please hit the subscribe button. Once again, we want to thank our partners, nooffseason.com. They were the reason why we were able to go live today. We appreciate nooffseason.com. Appreciate our friends at CGC Cards. Andy, you got a lot of content coming up because you just visited the guys at CGC Great. I said Cards, CGC Grading.
Yeah, stay tuned for that content coming out this week with head grader Andy Broom. He's been grading cards since 1999. He's literally survived, you know, two now sports card bubbles, and fascinating wealth of knowledge there. Really exciting tour of the facility. Great, great company. Excited for that.
Yeah, and if you want, join our football card Patreon. But in the comment section below, let us know your thoughts on this free agency show. We did it a little bit different. We'll be back next week with hobby tip of the week and play of the week. There are so many hobby tips and plays mixed in there. I know you guys look forward to those segments, but this was just free agency news. So we just stuck with that. So we'll be back to our normal format next week. Okay. But until next week, guys, peace. Boom.
Peace.